championship one year, as we know. But the point is here, it's just a different league. It's a different level.
Oh, yeah.
There's a different speed to it. There's a different feel to it. It's just a different – I mean, look at Arkansas right now. Arkansas gets a quick turnover. They're trying to strike quickly on it, and they get sacked. You know, this league here on defense, everybody plays for keeps. Everybody.
And the last thing, I can't remember the quarterback's name off the top of my head, the commit that we have there in Tennessee.
Juwan Jennings.
I firmly believe that he is the key to Butch's offense.
I don't think there's any question. He better work. Juwan Jennings, who's had quite a senior season thus far, has really – he might be the answer. I mean, we might just start looking at that and saying that might be a preposterous thing I just said. And if it's preposterous, so be it. But, Nathan, I do appreciate your call. Thank you for being up there, man, in Ohio. It's great to hear from you.
Appreciate it, Tony. Thanks so much, and continue doing what you're doing. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, my friend. Arkansas facing a critical fourth down and short, a fourth and less than one. Dubsy, are you going here if you're them on the 47-yard line? Are you punting it back to Alabama?
You got 7.5 minutes. It's a tough call. I mean, you're right around midfield. Alabama's not doing anything offensively.
No.
At first, I thought you go for it, but maybe you try and punt them and pin them deep and see if they'll make a mistake.
Are you joining me in echoing that in 2 weeks in Neyland Stadium, 14 days from now, Tennessee will have an opportunity to defeat that team?
No.
No.
Can't go there. I mean, I agree with you that Alabama is not what they have been. They don't have a very good quarterback right now. They're struggling offensively, but I just don't see Tennessee scoring in double digits against them and Alabama.
Fair enough. Couldn't you get a crazy day in Neyland Stadium? Aren't we due a crazy day? Like the South Carolina game last year. And this team's worked hard enough for that.
Well, that crazy day is probably going to happen, more likely to happen against Missouri or South Carolina.
Those aren't crazy days. Those are what you expect.
You expect to beat both those teams?
Well, I don't know. I hope, because we don't steal one here. We're going to have to beat both of them to get to a bowl game, unless my math's wrong.
Well, I mean, if just judging from last week and Ole Miss beating Alabama at home, you got to think that Alabama is going to be the easier game or the less tough of the two.
865-200-5402. Before I bring Reed Carringer in here, let me say a word about SmartWay, ladies and gentlemen. SmartWay, where you can go, smartway.net, your everything for home store where you can pay your way. And if the deal is, they're located at 8416 Kingston Pike, and SmartWay does have everything for your home. And the way it works is, SmartWay is your everything for home store, and you can walk in to SmartWay, and if you're in the market for furniture or appliances or electronics, these cell phones, they even have tires, and they're adding new stuff each and every day. Products are offered in a way that you've never seen before. You can walk in, pay today the price, pay in full, or go 120 days same as cash. Pay the cash price within 120 of the first 120 days, or you can choose a lease purchase, a rent to own, in which you'll choose your payment amount and frequency and change it anytime you want without the hassle of a new agreement. And that's why we call this pay your way. And that's all beautiful. And the deal is, with SmartWay, if you're short on cash, you can choose a flexible lease purchase option where you choose the payment that's convenient for you and the amount and frequency that's convenient for you. And Russell did not like what Arkansas just did.
Well, I mean, I think they're going to be short.
Yeah, they're short. A day late and a dollar short. Speaking of which, SmartWay, ladies and gentlemen, all on-time lease payments when you don't come up a day late and a dollar short. When you pay off your lease payment on time, you earn 2% in-store cash credit that can be used anytime for what you want when you want it. Reed Carringer will join me from RTI.
By the way,
marvel. Go ahead.
For those of you keeping track, Vanderbilt nursing a 18-10 lead over Charleston Southern in the second quarter. A Charleston Southern program that I believe just started playing football about 3 years ago.
How great would it be for Vanderbilt to lose that game? I like dark humor. Do you like dark humor? I like stuff like that. They should have lost a couple weeks ago to UMass. Yeah, Vanderbilt is wretched. There's not another game this season that I put in the win column for the Vols, but I do put that Vanderbilt game in the win column. Reed Carringer, RockyTopInsider.com. Do you feel me on that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Vanderbilt can't get out of its own way, and they are a miserable, miserable football team right now. And Jimmy Frank got out of town at the right time, it looks like.
Let's talk here for a segunda. I'd like your thoughts on what we saw today in Neyland Stadium.
I thought it was an underwhelming performance by Tennessee's offense, and that's been a trend the last couple weeks. That's maybe a little bit of a troubling trend if you're a Tennessee fan, because they averaged less than 5 yards a play against a UTC team that, yeah, they had a good defensive front, but, and I know Tennessee didn't play starters the whole game and all that, but it's an FCS team. You should have a little bit better day than that. Less than 5 yards of play, just not quite get it done. I thought the offense, offensive line obviously got manhandled again today. And I'll tell you this though, Tony, that defensive front for UTC, down there on the field, it looked better to me than Arkansas State. It looked better to me than Utah State. So I wasn't that surprised to see them have the type of day they had. We know they had a couple good athletes coming in, and they really showed that today that they're, actually one of the better defensive lines Tennessee's faced so far this season. So I wasn't surprised about that, but so far I just thought that my biggest takeaway was underwhelmed by the offense yet again this week.
865-200-5402. And we had a Barney boy call in last hour talking about the offensive line. Is the offensive line a deal for, in your mind at this point, that's a where you can't get blood from a stone proposition? Or are they being undercoached? Or should Kendrick get some time? What is your read on what's going on with the line?
Goodness, I don't know what the record is for most sacks given up in a season, but I expect them to challenge it at this point. It's getting a little bit ridiculous, giving up five to UCC, which was a season high for the Mocs, by the way. So it's a really, really tough game for Tennessee. I don't think it has a ton to do with coaching, honestly, Tony. I think they're just, they're in a bad spot. They were a lot better when they had Gilliam in there at left tackle, and they could play Curvison at right side. They've got him playing the most demanding position on the offensive line right now. He's really an offensive guard if you had to pick a spot for him, so he's way out of position. I think it has way more to do with personnel than coaching, and unfortunately, that's not easy to fix. You go back to 2010, Tony, and Tennessee's offensive line that year started a ton of freshmen. They finished last in the SEC in sacks allowed, but the next year they took a big jump, and they finished in the top three or four, if my memory serves me right. So I think that's where next year, if Tennessee's O-line doesn't take a big jump, then it's when I say, all right, what's going on with the coaching of this group?
865-200-5402.
Guys, that injury to Jacob Gilliam was so much bigger than anybody made a deal of it when it happened. I mean, Reed's absolutely right. That was the was that the Utah State game?
And this is the era. This is what happens, okay? When you're in an era where you're just poor, you don't get any breaks. And the guys that you absolutely cannot lose are the very guys you lose. MP's up next with us, followed by Guy. MP, hello.
Hey, Russell and Tony.
Hey, MP, and you've also got Reed Carringer.
Hey, Reed, how you doing, bud?
How you doing? Great, thanks for calling.
Just a couple quick things, won't take a lot of your time. First thing was, Jalen Hurd just held out cautionary, or did he hurt his shoulder again?
Yeah, that was he hurt his shoulder last week, and he was limited in practice all week, so I think they probably wouldn't have played him. I don't know if they ran him out there for a series just to keep his kind of starting streak or playing in game streak alive, because I think that might be important to him for some reason. But yeah, he could have gone. He could have played a lot more, but he didn't, just out of precaution.
I really think that he's actually over exceeded what I thought, being that tall and coming in and playing behind this offensive line. I think he's been a really good player. Did Josh Malone suit up today, or what happened there?
Yeah.
I didn't see him on the field.
He played. I don't think he had a catch, though. He was also banged up in practice. He was banged up in practice this week in a green jersey. So I think they were just kind of managing the guys that were dinged up a little bit today.
And obviously, you're right. You can tell nothing from that. I mean, absolutely nothing from today. Other than, you know, obviously you kind of accentuate with an offensive line that's giving up sacks to UPC. All I'm saying, guys, Tony Russell, is to try to get the 6 wins. I really think they're going to have to tighten things up and stop being stubborn and pull a fullback in close and maybe, you know, maybe an up back where you get a lot of max protection because, you know, this Mississippi front, you know, they're probably on power four that's got a really good D-line. And I think Ole Miss is pretty close to Florida and probably even a little bit deeper than Florida. So I really put it on our coaches this week. I think we'll see what kind of coaches we have. Yeah, they got the adversity against Florida, but so has every Tennessee coach over the last 20 years. They always lose that game. How do you bounce back? You know, do you bounce back like Fulmer did the first, 7-8 years of that to Florida loss and coach good, or do you bounce back like the end of the Fulmer era and Kiffin and Dooley? So I think we'll see a lot about this staff next week. I guess the team that's, you know, better than us. They are. I don't think Ole Miss, in fact, I think State's probably, you know, right now clearly obviously the best team in the West. I do look for A&M to beat Ole Miss tonight. So I, you know, Tennessee will be, what, a 17-point underdog next week?
Probably, yeah.
I want to go down there and I want us to outcoach that guy. But that's what I'm going to judge our progress a week from today when I call you or whatever, is I want us to finally go and outcoach somebody. Probably, you know, and even if that means in a loss, which it could mean in a loss, but I want to see our staff get the best of UPR's staff. Is that too much to ask?
How do you judge that? How will you judge if our staff gets the best of them? How do you judge that?
Game management, I think, from an offensive standpoint. There's still some wild cards on this defense. You know, we've not faced an explosive offense, I don't think, all year. Oklahoma, there's something about Oklahoma I can't buy into. And I know they're good. Yeah, they're probably going to be 10-1 or 11-1 or whatever, 10-2. But I just, they're not a dynamic offense. Georgia, you know, they had Gurley, and he's a really, really, you know, phenomenal tailback. Probably the best I've seen in college since Ricky Williams. You know, but Tennessee, has not faced a team that can really, and I think Ole Miss could be this team. You know, I think Ole Miss could be the kind of team that could spread us out. Wallace could run on us a little bit. I want to see us manage this game offensively and defensively, where in the second half, you don't look at yourself and we're not texting each other saying, man, what are we doing?
Yeah.
Is this not embarrassing?
Great, great point.
I mean, that's not much to ask, is it?
No, it's not. It's not.
This is year 8 of the rebuild. This isn't much to ask.
But there is a real potential to get swallowed up next week in the time the game is played, the environment, especially if Ole Miss goes to A&M tonight and wins. And I'm going to go against you. I think Ole Miss goes there and wins tonight.
Okay. One of our buddies that likes to gamble on sports is real big on A&M, so we all need to cheer for A&M.
Okay.
Cheer for his sanity this week. One last thing. Hello?
Go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Bielema, man, he's looking like a kind of a version of Dooley. He's getting close in these games. He's going to lose another one tonight.
Maybe. We'll see.
He's going to lose this game. I mean, you know, Saban and Kiffin, that thing is a train wreck.
Train wreck.
And I can't wait for that game because I just want to see, you know, if we can frustrate him some and play with him.
That.
I think that Alabama right now on offense is probably worse than the offense Saban had his first year down there with John Parker Wilson and some of those guys. What do you think?
I think you're exactly right. And you're getting to see how brilliant Nick Saban doesn't look when they're rudderless. And MPI, I appreciate the phone call.
Okay, thanks, Tony.
Hey, great talking to you. Now, AJ McCarron, by the way, called out his former teammates and said there's no leadership on that team. And Nick Saban said, how does he know? He's not even here. He's playing for Cincinnati. But AJ McCarron obviously knows. He talks to people. He cares enough to say something about it. And Reed, I'm you think I'm crazy, okay? In 2 weeks, that if Tennessee comes back from Ole Miss in one piece and they're fairly healthy, that's a game that can get really interesting in Knoxville because Alabama stinks on offense.
They do, and they're not they've looked pedestrian against everybody that's not coached by Will Muschamp this season, right? They just haven't been good except against Florida, and even in that game they turned the ball over too much and kept the Gators in the game. So we'll see. They haven't been very good on the road, as you're seeing in that loss at Ole Miss, and then they're playing, I'm watching it right now, Tony, an Arkansas team, which, look, let's be honest, their defense isn't very good, and Alabama's struggling to move the ball on them. They don't look like they have an offensive identity at all. And I expect that Tennessee defense, look, it's for real. We've learned anything. If we know anything this season, is that Tennessee defense is absolutely for real. So I think it'll come down to how well can Tennessee protect Worley, and can they, is Worley still upright, like you said, and can they score some points? But you talked about Bama a little bit earlier before you brought me on, Tony. They're second to last in the SEC in returning starts on the offensive line. Right ahead of Tennessee, but they only returned 37 starts on the offensive line this season. The Vols got six, but 37 for Bama was the second lowest number in the SEC, and I think you're seeing some offensive struggles because of that. It's just tough to break linemen in this conference.
And they have 4- and 5-star linemen they're breaking in, not what we're breaking in. They have 4- and 5-star, top of the heat, top of the mark, the old man on Pawn Stars. And that's why they're 4-1. That's exactly right.
And could very easily be 5-0.
And that's the difference. But see, Saban doesn't look all brilliant when he doesn't have the full cast of players. This is about players. Dan Mullen doesn't look all mediocre now that he's got Dak Prescott, who is very Cam Newton-esque, the way he's carrying that team. And guys, if you guys want to start to laugh at me, go ahead and laugh. That could be the team that plays for the national championship this year, that Mississippi State team. You guys go ahead and laugh at me.
I'm not laughing at you. I picked Auburn today. I'll own that. I missed that pick. I thought Auburn would go in there and win a close game. I wasn't sold on Mississippi State yet, but they almost seem to me a little bit like Auburn of last year, an Auburn team that not only are they good, are they talented, are they fired up, do they play well, but they're getting all the breaks too. Mississippi State, I wouldn't be surprised at all if they make it to the college football playoff and into the national championship game. They sold me today because I still think Auburn is very good. I still think Auburn is going to be in the hunt for that SEC West title.
Agreed.
It's going to be tough losing to Mississippi State, but I think Auburn's a great team, and Mississippi State made them look less than great today.
They took them apart somehow, and I'm with you. Auburn was my pick in the West. I'm going to stay with Auburn simply because I'm a man of my word. I do know this, though. This Alabama team does not scare me. And I'm here to tell you right now, and you can take this to the bank, take it for what it's worth. After that kick six last year, their program is not the same. It is James Buster Douglas knocking out Mike Tyson in the Tokyo Dome back in 1990. I know Russell Smith doesn't want to hear that, but his Alabama boys, they are coming back to earth.
You are so filling people with false hope.
No, I'm not saying we're going to win. I'm saying the game could get interesting because defensively we're very good, and there's we're due to have a game like that. We deserve, and Lane Kiffin wrecked our program. And karma is a biatch, as we say in the trade. Dubsy, how karmatic would it be for people who believe in such things if Tennessee is the team that nails the death blow to Lane Kiffin? Because that guy right there on the sidelines, that nut, would fire him before they got out of Knoxville. Yes or no?
Would he fire him before they got out of Knoxville?
Absolutely.
Nah.
He would fist fight him. He'd go over there and punch. He'd Woody Hayes him.
Saban, he is a little wound up tonight.
Psycho Saban.
Yeah, he's just brooding.
He's done something to his hair, though, tonight. Unusual nights where it gets wet.
Yeah.
Unusual nights where it gets wet, you can see like a lot of his bald areas. I'm starting to think he's harvesting. Let's go back to the phones. By the way, I want to remind you, Dalton Bearing and Hydraulics, a presenting sponsor of the Smart Way Dalton Bearing Fifth Quarter Fan Reaction. Check them out online at daltonhydraulic.com. They are, if you're looking for hydraulic cylinders or AC-DC hydraulic cylinders or power units, last year they sold over 200,000. I couldn't possibly add that high. Over 200,000 hydraulic cylinders and power units. They also sell hoses, hose assemblies, fittings, couplings, hydraulic motors, thousands of bearings online at daltonhydraulic.com. And also anything that turns or makes mobile components work, they have for you. Read injury report wise. Devrin Young, is going to be lost, obviously, with the broken ribs. What else?
Yeah, I don't think they're going to be as bad today as Jones was making it out to be. You got Chris Weather got dinged up there, but he came back into the game for at least some kickoff coverage there. Looks like, I don't know, maybe he got the wind knocked out of him or got a little stinger there. Then you mentioned Devrin. I think a lot of their, when Butch referred to them as a match unit, was some of their guys coming in the game. You know, Marlon Lane, Butch said he couldn't go today. They limited Jalen Hurd. They limited, it looks like, Josh Malone, even though I don't think that Butch said that. Look, he looked limited to me. I think everybody else on the defense, Owen Williams was out. I saw him. He had thumb surgery. He may be back next week. I doubt it. Von Pearson is closer to 100% than I think a lot of people know, but they understandably limited him today. So I don't think they suffered any real major injuries today or anything that will cause any players to miss significant time other than Devrin.
The kick return duties now go to?
Should be Evan Berry, right? You saw what he was able to do today, and we've seen that in practice. And Jones said after the game that Evan's been in his hip pocket. He wants the ball in his hands. And I'm thinking, well, give him the dang ball. Because goodness, he's the real deal. He's one of the best players on the team, Tony, at least as far as athleticism comes. And we saw that today. We've seen it in practice. We've seen it in fall camp. I think the first or second day of fall camp when he was returning kicks, all of us media folk there just kind of turned our heads thinking, man, that guy's really good.
Now, here's what I was told. I was told he's had trouble catching it in practice. Is that true?
That's accurate. So, yes. I mean, so I get why they haven't run him out there because they're afraid that he might drop it, but at least put him back there with Devrin. So, you got a sure-handed guy back there, and if they got one that you got some time to catch, give it to Evan. I don't know why they haven't put him at least on the first team and given him a shot.
Maybe Devrin can catch it and then toss it to him.
I'm not kidding, Tony.
No, I loved his ball skills. I said that tonight. He looked like his brother in the open field.
I know. He's one of the fastest guys on the team. He's got some wiggle, got some speed, and they got to find a way to get him the ball. I don't know why they didn't. I guess you don't want to do anything to upset the apple cart, but at some point you got to get some offense out there, and they were getting negative plays from the kick returner, and Evan is better than that. So we'll see. We'll see what they do. I hope it's Evan. I think he deserves it, and I think he's one of the best guys on the team. Gets the ball in his hand.
Reed Carringer is joining us on your Smart Way Dalton Bearing fifth quarter fan reaction. Back to our busy phones we go. Our next caller tonight is Guy. Guy, hello and welcome.
Hey, Tone. How you doing?
Hey, great talk to you.
You too, bud. It's fun watching Bama struggle, isn't it?
It is. It's very fun. Do you agree with me, or am I pie in the sky here in saying Tennessee will have an opportunity against them in 2 weeks?
I'd love for us to keep it close, but I just don't see it.
What are they going? They're going to run us? That's the only thing they could do is gash us with their running game, and that could happen. But they haven't been able to do it to our last several opponents. And as you said, as Reed said earlier, if you look at Arkansas statistically in the league, that is not a very good defense they're struggling with tonight.
That's true.
It's but a bad pick.
It just seems like Tennessee and Alabama get together and they get the best of us.
No, absolutely. Alabama gets
like
the best of everybody.
Go unnamed. There you go.
Yep, Alabama gets the best of everybody. And in fact, that interception that Arkansas threw tonight there, right with 2 minutes left, is part and parcel of why Alabama is the winningest team in our conference and has been. They just they're going to win a game tonight 14-13 that they should have lost.
You're exactly right. I got an observation and a question for you, Tone. You're pretty good about commending the fans, and this was talked about earlier in your show tonight. But I tell you, there were three things going against the Tennessee fan base today. And one was that loss last week that we all know I'm still not over. Two was playing an FCS opponent, and three was the weather. So to show up tonight, I walked into the stadium, couldn't believe the amount of fans, and they kept filling in. I mean, to have, they announced 93, it was probably pushing 90,000. I mean, what a testament to our fan base. I just thought it was phenomenal.
Let me tell you a quick story. My friend Clark Moore, who is with SelectTicketService.com, I was talking to him this week, and I said, Clark, what has demand been like for the tickets this week? He said, Tony, there is not a fan base in America that is like this place. And I said, what do you mean? He said, if you took a final, because he has tickets for schools all across the conference, okay? He said, if you took a devastating loss like that at any other school in this league, name the school, and you had a 1AA opponent, that's what I call him, coming into your building, I'm just showing my age here. He says to me, there is no way that you would have the crowd. I said, well, how many are you going to be over there? He said, it'll be 90-ish. He said, in most schools in this conference, you'd be lucky to have 65,000 after what we witnessed last weekend, the gut punch that that was. Here's what we have, Guy, and that's why I love this place, and that's why I've stayed here. We have a fan base that not only watches the sport, but they celebrate the sport. Who doesn't want to be a part of that? That does what I do, that does what Russell does, that does what the folks at Rocky Top Insider are doing. Who doesn't want to be a part of serving a fan base that celebrates this stuff? Guy, that's what it is. It's celebrating it, right? And it's not even, it's like pulling teeth right now. Watching our offensive line block, poor Kyler Kerbison, as Swaney said earlier, he's an interior lineman, and they've got him over there, and you're watching it, and he's trying, and it's just so painful.
It's brutal.
But we continue to go. We're not booing. People aren't going crazy on talk radio. They're not going insane on chat boards. We did last weekend because we had that game in our pocket. But we celebrate this stuff, Guy. It's a great observation by you. I mean, you had those three factors. The weather, a 1AA opponent, and then that gut punch against Florida last week. And you have a damn great crowd in there.
It was phenomenal. It really was. Obviously wasn't the emotion that last week was, but I thought the turnout was incredible. It's just a huge testament to our fan base.
And they get beat on. And they get beat on, Guy. People beat on our fan base.
That's why I wanted to bring it up.
Well, it's a wonderful point by you.
Well, it's funny, when the students start chanting, it's great to be a Tennessee Vol, I have to question that, but I keep coming back, so I guess it is. It doesn't seem very great, but I guess it is.
You know what kills me, too? If you're a senior student at UT, you've had so little to cheer about. That's a crying shame. You know it. That's why they deserve to go to a bowl game. So
that's
those
not as
kids
bad as being a senior player.
Oh, that's got to be awful. You know that, Reed? Isn't that true? Don't those senior players deserve to go to a bowl game?
It really is. It's tough, and I was really hoping for that for some of those guys last year. I mean, that's not what they signed up for, obviously, when they came to Tennessee. And that group especially had to endure Dooley. They don't have a lot of positive things to say about him, understandably so. So that's what I think the fans are great, just to echo your point. But, two, it's, as tough as the fans have had it, as tough as they've taken everything, it's been worse for those players. And that's not at all what they signed up for.
No. Nobody comes to the University of Tennessee thinking, as Tom Hart described the last 5 years here, I'm going to be a part of a dumpster fire. And I know some people did not like Tom Hart using that term tonight. He said that our program post Fulmer has been a dumpster fire, and I know that that's going to rankle some people. You know what, guy? When you look at what's happened on the field, that's pretty accurate. It really is. It's a shame. But you know what? We've been on the air here for 2 hours and 35 minutes, and we still have callers, and we have tons of listeners, and we played a 1AA game today. It's incredible. This place is incredible. Bow your head when you think about the Tennessee fan base.
It's special.
Great call, man. Thank you.
Tony, quick.
Yeah,
question.
Go ahead.
Maybe Reed can weigh in on this. I don't want to harp on the offensive line struggles or anything else. My question is, in terms of the offensive play calling, you know, today we threw a pass over the middle to Kroom for a first down. It was probably 15, 18-yard pass, and mm-hmm. I just feel like we don't see that very often. We don't see the slants, the dig routes, even a post, you know, and I know it's limited time, but, you know, a quick three-step drop slant. It was wide open for Kroom tonight on that play, and just not something we see much. My question is that just not part of the offense, or you know, you see these plays out into the flats, or you know, we throw a deep ball, a fade, but we just don't see them across the middle, and I just wonder what the story is there.
I think it's several things. One is I think they've got to the wide receivers have to be a little bit more physical. They're not getting open. A lot of times the routes that they have there are option routes. So, for example, that last play last week where Worley threw a pick on that pass intended to Pig Howard, Pig was supposed to cut that one to the inside. That was supposed to be over the middle of the field, and Pig just ran the wrong route. So some of that's on the receivers. I think some of it is a time concern because they know that, hey, if it's not there, Worley's just going to get killed if the receivers aren't physical. I think they need to utilize it more, though. I think they need to send the tight ends through the middle of the field more. Some of that stopped. They did earlier in the year because they're keeping them in the block and trying to protect the quarterback as best as possible. And then Kroom is a big weapon there because he's big and he's strong and he can get open in the middle. So I like what they did with Kroom today, and that's something that I think that they definitely – I need to try to do more of it and do more of it with him because he's been the most successful at it this year.
I appreciate it. And, Tony, on the way out, I was fortunate enough to sit up in the club seats with some of the bigwigs tonight. And I just thought about, at halftime, went out, saw that buffet and thought about your boy Roger. He could have done some serious damage in there.
Take care, brother. Roger has gotten his licks. I tweeted out earlier a pic of Roger tonight. He got to meet up with Donnie Tindall and was absolutely walking on cloud nine.
Roger and Donnie Tindall could tag team that buffet into submission.
You know that thing? You ever seen that thing on Sesame Street? One of these things just doesn't belong here.
It's not like the other.
Is that what it is?
One of these things is
not like the other.
Got two young children. I know this stuff.
Okay, well, when you take Donnie Tindall and put him next to his wife, you can sing that. Let's go back to the phones.
Wow! Donnie Tindall under assault on the
fifth
quarter.
Donnie Tindall, that thing that he wore at his wedding, I mean, that looked like something.
White on white suit.
No, that orange thing. If I'm jumping out of an airplane, I want that behind me, and I will land safely on the ground. Let's go back to the phones. That was classic. Donnie Tindall is going to be classic. Let's go back to our phones. Reed Carringer's with us. RockyTopInsider.com is his website. They're working hard for you. Ole Miss is working the ball down the field again. As we go back to the phones, they're leading 7-0. That's going to be a tough game next week down there. JJ's up next with us. JJ, hello. You're on the Smart Way, Dalton Behring, fifth quarter fan reaction.
Hey, what's going on?
Hey, man, how you doing?
Good. Me and Leslie got to watch a UT football game at the stadium together for the first time. So that was nice.
That's a nice thing, isn't it?
Yeah. Has there been any, Camp David, meetings with you and Jerry Colquitt's lap?
No, I've reached out. My camp has reached out to Jerry Colquitt. He remains angry with me, and there have been no further discussions.
Wow. I thought he would be past that, you know?
Well, everybody moves at their own speed, at their own time, but I will communicate to Jerry off the air, and I communicate on the air to him that he is sorely missed. And I did not handle that well. I was emotional before the Florida game, and I was emotional immediately after the Florida game. I don't blame him for his feelings being hurt. I just didn't want to hear him say, "I told you so," and I took it way too far, and I'm a man enough to stand up before you, before him, before this audience, and say, "I apologize. I apologized off the air. I apologize on the air. It's all I can do. It's all I can do."
And Jerry knows that the part of your shtick is just, you know, you're kind of like a wrestling figure. And
yeah, I shouldn't have done Jerry. I shouldn't.
Hyperbole and
JJ, I shouldn't have done Jerry like that.
Well, we miss Jerry. I miss Jerry, and I hope that Jerry gets back and at least for the fans' sake to laugh a little bit and to give us some of his insight.
Yes, because when he checks in from FEMA Quadrant 10 with his diamond gusset jeans that will be there during the nuclear holocaust, you know that Jerry Colquitt is a classic human being, no question.
Yes. So, you know, I can't help myself but keep going back to the offensive play calling, and I know that might be one of the favorite things that fans gripe about, but when you do have an offensive line like it is, to me, you're just further handicapping us when we have such a limited variety, and the biggest variety is this late developing handoff to our guy, to our running back. And there's no other, like, the defense there's no reason for the defense to key on anyone else. I would love to see a split back set. And then the defense, for one, has to deal with, you know, we're protecting the quarterback better on a passing play. We don't need three or four receivers at the line when we're only lining up five offensive linemen, you know, very traditional, very vanilla. There's no pass protection, and there's no, you know, other options. You know, if we had two backs there, the defense is at least thinking, okay, which guy's going to be the lead blocker? Which guy's going to go out to the flat? Which guy's going to get the ball? Which guy's going to go through the line for a little 3-yard turnaround? You know, we don't use a jumbo tight end, and I just cannot buy with as much of a roster size as you get with the football team that you don't have someone that can line up in the fullback position, whether or not he's a true fullback.
Hey, Reed, peel back the onion on that, and then you, Russell. I want to hear you guys talk about that. Go ahead.
Yeah, as Ole Miss goes up 14-0 right now.
Unbelievable.
By the way.
Unbelievable.
The Wallace looking very, very good down there.
We got good bow tonight. There's good bow and bad bow, but go ahead.
Well, and that's good for Tennessee, I think, because they can't have good bow three straight games, right? Surely he's due for a bad game against Tennessee next week. But that's another question. I want to get to your question there. They have run some split backs with Marlon Lane and with Jalen Hurts. They've had them in the backfield some. I think if they're both healthy, you'll see more of that. They got to have two healthy backs to do that, and they really haven't had one. Like last week, Lane was really banged up, and this week he didn't even play. So they got to have two healthy backs. Depth is an issue right there to run that set. I hear what you're saying, though, and that's something that they're doing more as far as using a back for a lead blocker, kind of confusing the defense a little bit. And also, they've used tight ends as H-backs. Let's talk about it on Monday. If you look back at that Florida game and kind of as the season's progressed, they've done it more. They split a tight end off the line, essentially, you know, on the end of the line, about a yard back. It's an H-back position, and they use him as a lead blocker. That's just about the same as using a fullback. They'll put him in motion sometimes, and he'll be the lead blocker for those runs. They don't always have a hole they're supposed to run to, though. Sometimes if they're doing these kind of zone runs, they stretch out the play a little bit and make the running backs try to stretch out the play, stretch the defense out, and if the running back sees a hole, they cut a field. Actually, a few of Tennessee's longest runs this year have been on those plays, but I think they've mixed it up maybe better than people realize. If you go back and watch some of the tape of those games, but it hasn't worked at maybe as well as people think, or think it should, because the offensive line just not executing. I think you could run an I formation, you could do whatever, and this offense isn't going to be very good because they can't block anybody. I really don't think scheme is the problem.
What about a fullback? What about what he said, a fullback, another tight end? Give Kurbison some help. Are they going to do that against Mississippi and Alabama? Are they just going to feed these guys the Lions?
They've done it, Tony. I'm telling you, they've put two tight ends out there and left at least one in the block, help one of those tackles out. And a lot of times when they ran those two-back sets, either Jalen Hurd or Lane were stayed back there in pass pro. So I think they've tried it, and an H-back and a fullback are essentially synonymous in an offense when you're running it, when you can use those as lead blockers. So I think they're going to have to do it more. I think you're going to see them more max protect against Ole Miss coming up. They're running into problems there, too, because their wide receivers weren't getting open when they did that against Florida. So there weren't enough options out there. So it's just a rough situation. When you have to keep that many in to block, you can't fit as many out, and your wide receivers aren't getting open. So I think it's a really, really rough situation. I don't think people know how handcuffed that offense is.
Well, you know, and then the routes, though, that we are running, you know, the thing that drives me crazy, and this is why I'm not confident at all that we're going to be someone like Alabama, is because regardless of how good our defense is, you can't win ball games when the time of possession is like you have it 20 minutes, they have it 40 minutes. We're having way too many three and outs. And I really get frustrated when you only need 10 yards to get a first down with three downs, you know. And we're running these 20-yard routes, you know. So if protection is an issue, why are there not shorter routes? And I know you said sometimes guys are running the wrong routes, but we're throwing the ball 25 yards across the field for a 3-yard gain. And I don't know what happened to letting the defensive line come through and then setting up just an old school screen where your running back, instead of going out in the flat, just goes through the line and you just lob it over him. I mean, I don't see any of that stuff. Am I missing something there?
No, but there's just the thing that Reed's saying, and it's just true, and none of us want to understand this, because I was so mad last week after the Florida game. And the reality is, we don't have any line. And so, here's a guy that sees it completely different than you. Edie Grubb online. He says, it seems we have no run offense, and our pass offense is a 5-yard hitch, a screen pass, or a 5-yard slant. That's all you can do. That's all. I mean, there's really, when you don't have time to throw, and you don't even have time to throw against Chattanooga, JJ. Think about that for a second.
A quick slant, but that would be like just the actual distance that the ball is traveling through the air is like maybe 10 yards on a slant rather than 25 yards across the whole dang field, where a good team is going to sit on that and it's a pick six.
Yeah, I don't know why we're throwing that
across the field. That's crazy.
I don't like the across the field stuff either.
I'll tell you why they're not doing that. They don't trust Worley over the middle. They won't say that, but they don't trust him. You see how many high balls he's thrown this year when he's come out a little jacked up? And I've seen him throw some bad picks in practice.
Yeah.
Doing that. So that they don't trust their quarterback over the middle. So if they don't trust him over the middle, and I still think they need to use it more. I'm with you. And a middle screen, hey, great idea. We haven't seen those. The little screens at the side aren't working, but let's run a middle screen like those delayed handoffs work. That's a great point. I think they need to go to that a little bit more, but I really haven't had a huge problem with their play calling. Look, going into the Florida game, I had them unofficially 2 for 21 on passes greater than 25 yards in the air. So they're not accurate down the field when guys were open. You saw that today. North was open a couple times.
Yep.
Had a couple other players open. Worley missed them for almost all his incompletions were down the field. So you can't stretch the field. They don't trust their quarterback over the middle because he has the tendency to sell the ball high in those situations. So I get people tweeting me all the time saying, hey, we're not going to the strength of our offense. Well, what are those strengths? You can't block anybody. You can't run. You can't throw the ball down the field. You don't trust your quarterback over the middle. So it's that dink and dunk pass game. And they're playing to their strengths, honestly.
What did you think of Peterman today? And then, JJ, I'll let you finish up. Reed, what did you think of Peterman today?
It looked about like I thought. You saw he had some wheels out there, wasn't afraid to keep it. Actually kept it one time when he shouldn't have, when he got decked back there by one of UTC's D linemen. Should have given it to Darrell Scott on that play. It was a bad read on his part. But, you know, we talked about him a little bit after Georgia. I don't think he was near as bad as a lot of people made him out to be at Georgia. He hit North in the hands. He had a couple receivers in the hands, actually throw the ball down the field, and his receivers dropped the ball. You had that turnover, obviously. That was on him and Lane. And then, but you had Worley and Hurd do the exact same thing down there on the goal line, and that was just as big. So I don't think he's as bad as people have made him out to be. And you saw the offense, and that was against UTC's, not necessarily their starters, but offense gets a little more open when you got a quarterback that can move even just a little bit back there.
JJ, go ahead. Finish up.
Yeah. Well, I just appreciate you, going into depth and not ridiculing me for having, question marks about the play calling. And do you see in the practices Worley working under center? Because the little crouch thing he does, as mm-hmm. if that's a play action, I'm just like, what are you doing? And there's no real play action from the shotgun. So is he just uncomfortable footwork wise? What's the deal?
No, you've made some great points, JJ. You really have, and I'm with you on a lot of your points there about play calling. They need to utilize some of the build the field stuff. We do not see him in shotgun. In fact, or under center, excuse me. I don't think I can recall him ever being under center in practice during the Butch Jones tenure. I may be wrong, but I think I would remember that.
Cause that makes sense.
So we don't see him under there. He's always in the shotgun. That's kind of how their offense is. It's a little bit like under Jim Chaney here. When they ran the pistol, they were in shotgun most of the time. Just kind of their system.
Hey, JJ, on the way out, I want something to lighten my mood later when we're done. Give Russell W. Smith and myself one great funk selection for the road.
Oh, man, gosh. There's so many. But I would say I love Dance Floor by Zapp. It's on their second album, Zapp 2.
Dance Floor by Zapp. I'll take you up on that. That's Roger Troutman's band, right?
Yes, indeed.
Thank you, brother. Have a great day. 50 past the hour. This is, ladies and gentlemen, your Smart Way Dalton Behring fifth quarter fan reaction. Share with the listener, Reed, what you're doing over at your website.
Well, tons of ball stuff. We talk balls all the time. Get 5-7, sometimes more pieces of original content up each and every day. I got a post from Houston, my colleague, 5 observations from the game. He was up in the press box. Got a running game day thread from Daniel Lewis as well. Commitment stats up. A couple big days for some ball commitments yesterday. And keep you all up to date on recruiting as well. Had some stories on some visitors from this trip. And just tons of ball coverage. Got some live basketball coverage as that picks up a little bit. Get some video of Tyndall's first open practice to the media. If y'all haven't seen that, see what the basketball team's looking like. And tons of ball stuff. Do a podcast each and every weekday from 10 to 11. Talking balls, you can listen to that live on the site or on our free Rocky Top Insider app. And we post that podcast on the site every day as well, Tony.
Before I go back to our phones, and by the way, 865-200-5402, if you want to get in the hunt and in the mix with us. What is your take on the basketball team here early on? Will this be a winning team this year?
Oh, I think they're going to struggle to get to winning. And that's coming. I just think that if they get to, they're going to hover around 500 all year, Tony. I really think. If I had to pick right now, I will say this though. Those guys have gotten better since they stepped on campus. Saw a lot of them play in the Rocky Top League this summer. Saw a few of them just horsing around shooting. When I went to do pictures for Basketball Time magazine of those guys, And since then, even just a few weeks ago, they've improved. They've gotten better. So that's a good sign. They're more athletic than I thought. Even some of their post guys, like Willie Carmichael, who was a committed to Tyndall at Southern Miss and then ended up following him to Tennessee, put on some weight. They're just going to be more athletic. He's got more bounce than any Tennessee post guys have had in a while. I think they're going to be a fun team to watch. I think they're going to play hard. I think they're going to turn the opposing teams over, which we haven't seen in Knoxville in a while. Kansas teams played good defense, but they didn't really force turnovers. So I think they'll be fun to watch, but I think ultimately it's just going to be tough for them with their lack of depth. Don't really have a point guard on the team. Don't really have an established post presence either. And those are, in my opinion, the two most important positions in college basketball.
It's going to be really interesting. And then Donnie told me as well the whole point guard deal, which continues to haunt this program. So
post C.J. Watson, they haven't had one.
It's incredible, man. Back to the phones we go. Dustin's up next with us on your Smart Way Dalton Behring fifth quarter fan reaction. Hello, Dustin.
What's going on, fellas?
Hey, great to talk to you, man.
No problem, man. First of all, I'd like to say thanks to Clarkie for giving Roger those tickets. We got to go to the game. I just had an absolute blast with Roger. I think he'll probably never go anywhere else with me. I wouldn't blame him. That poor guy gets embarrassed too easy.
Roger has never had a bad day in his life, though, man.
Did you get red in front of Roger, Dustin?
Yeah, did you get red in front of Roger?
No. He gets shy in front of girls, and every girl who walks by, I try to get to talk to her, and he just, he clams up. That's the only time I see Roger get nervous. Poor guy.
Wow.
Yeah, but
that must be why he gets all nervous around Bino.
Maybe.
Bino puts off, never mind.
But, when we were walking outside of the stadium, just the smile on Roger's face, man, to your point, that kid, he doesn't have a bad day. It doesn't matter what was going on in the stadium, just seeing him light up on every play, he loved it, man. And me and Coach Tyndall, the first thing he said, I'm going to call Tony and tell him, I promise you.
He is so next level, man. He was so excited tonight in our first hour, hearing from our caller, Roger, who met Donnie Tyndall tonight. That's good stuff.
Yeah, as soon as he met Coach Tyndall, that's when me and him were walking out, and I actually drove him home because you left him on hold for so long. How do you do that poor kid? Come on, Tony. Call her pace.
I'm trying, Dustin. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm just kidding with you. But got to sit. A guy behind me was one of the players' coaches, or players' parents from UTC, and he told me that their best running back, one of their best offensive linemen, was out. One
correct.
Of their second tier wide receivers. He said that he didn't expect much from this game, but he thinks the game would have had a different turn if all three of those guys played. Do you think it would have? Or
no,
I don't really think.
No. They weren't going to do anything with Tennessee's defense. It wouldn't have mattered. Their best running back, their best now. What they did is with their defensive line, they were good enough to make it a game, and give Tennessee a real good workout and a good work at it, and expose Tennessee's offensive line some more, which is what they did tonight.
Oh, absolutely! There was a few plays where they could have gashed. Tennessee could have gashed Chattanooga, but just something Dr. Sinclair said a while back, when you make Worley make decisions to the place, that's where he falls. That's where he's not very good. He had three or four of those plays, and I think they were all back-to-back in the third quarter when Tennessee went. I think they had it third and three or something, and it ended up fourth and 27 or something. Just plays like that. Can you guys really question his decision-making process, or does he just not understand what he's doing?
I don't know. I think he's just taking too many shots, to be honest with you. And I just mean hits. I just think that has a cumulative effect. And I just, I hurt for him. I think it's odd that they didn't get Peterman in that game sooner tonight, Reed. Don't you?
Yeah, I agree. And to answer Dustin's questions about Worley's decision-making, I just don't think he's a very good quarterback, honestly, gentlemen. This is his 23rd start, I believe. He's got more career turnovers than touchdowns, at least head into this game he did. And I went back this week, Tony, and watched a bunch of practice video. We put practice video on the site, and I went back and looked at kind of through the files and watched the Vol offense on video from fall camp on to this week. And those red zone struggles we saw against Florida, that's nothing new. I went and looked back, and that offense bogged down in the red zone in practice from day one of fall camp. And a lot of it had to do with I think, poor decision-making from Worley, whether it's not understanding the situation, whether it's holding the ball too long or on a fourth down or a two-point conversion, just throwing the ball over somebody's head when that's the last chance. You got to make a play. I just don't think in key situations he's been very good this year, and that goes back to fall camp even, Tony.
Does he really know what he's doing back there? Because two times tonight on two of the big sacks, one of them by the tall kid, it looks like he changed the protection, and both times he changed protection, it ended up costing him and the team big. Does he really understand what he's changing, or is it the coaching staff making too many changes for him to really understand what's going on? Because he just makes bad decisions, really bad decisions, costly decisions.
Yeah, it almost seems like almost every time they change the protection, it comes back to bite him in the butt. That goes back to the Florida game, too. You know, that big turnover is on a corner blitz that he didn't see. That's his job. He's a quarterback. His job is to see those corner blitzes. No one else is going to see it, and he admitted he missed it on that game. So, yeah, I think he sort of hit his ceiling, and he's good enough to get you a pretty solid game like he had at Georgia every now and then, and then he's going to be below average and near the bottom of the SEC the rest of the time. I just think that he is who he is, and that's who the Vols are going to roll with.
But, Dustin, here's something to make you feel better. Tomorrow night, on SEC Rewind, set your DVR now because they're going to show 2005 Vanderbilt, Tennessee.
Oh, jeez. Wow.
Thanks, Dustin.
With all the great moments in Tennessee football history over the years, all the big wins these programs,
I'm gonna be on
they never
watch.
Show any of them.
No.
But they're like the
all
killer
the suicide
moments,
watch games.
The gut punches,
oh, yeah.
Just on a constant loop.
Reed, unbelievable yeoman-like work by you here in hour three. You literally carried us home to the mark, and I appreciate you being there, my friend.
Hey, I look forward to it every week, Tony. Wouldn't do anything else.
Well, that speaks volumes for what you've got going on in your life.
Oh,
my
man.
My life's pretty boring, Tony.
Take care, brother.
Thanks, gentlemen.
Reed Carringer, RockyTopInsider.com. Check him out. I want to say a special word of thanks to our sponsors who have presented tonight's action, including our friends at U.S. Foods. As I remind you on your way out here that if you are a Class A CDL driver and you would like to be at home every night, I've got a really good suggestion for you. Head over, if you can, to usfoods.com. That's usfoods.com. US Foods, a leader in the food service industry, is looking for Class A CDL drivers for delivery positions in the Knoxville area. Minimum of 1 year commercial driving experience required, or 6 months food service or food and beverage delivery experience is required. US Foods offers a competitive compensation and benefits package, including medical, dental, vision, pension, and 401k plans. Apply online at usfoods.com. US Foods is an equal opportunity employer. And Dubsy, great time had by all tonight. I want to thank Miss Paula for participating this evening. She gets our CON Award Caller of the Night. Barney Boy up in Virginia finishing a close second. The gentleman in the Carolinas talking about lighting his bowling ball on fire. Eric, can't get that out of my mind. Dubsy, it was really great having you here. Any final thoughts for us?
Well, it looks like Ole Miss is taking Texas A&M behind the woodshed early in that game. Mm-hmm. Let's see, what's the score here?
My thoughts on that, Dobbsy. My thoughts
21
are
21-0 early
my
in
thoughts,
the second quarter.
I'm with Reed. I hope they blow them out because
Tennessee
Wallace
be the trap
does
game.
Not play. Wallace will not play four good football games in
well,
a row.
Well, A&M struggles defensively.
Yes, they
so,
do.
You know, I mean, Tennessee, they've got to go in there and ugly that thing up and try and turn it into another Florida. Tennessee's defense playing really well right now. I mean, they gave up 10 points today, but they, you know, the starters really only responsible for three of those. I mean, really, they've given up, what, 13 points the last two ball games?
They've been absurdly great. Defensively, it's like two different football teams, because as bad as they are offensively, they have a championship-level defense right now. Imagine what it's going to look like next year with the additions of what's coming.
Yeah.
Imagine that.
Yeah, I think the defense, you lose a nice player in A.J. Johnson, but I like Jalen Reeves-Maybin in the middle replacing him. You got Weathered, you got Dylan Bates, you've got some other options there at linebacker. All your defensive linemen are going to come back, and they're going to continue to improve, so you're going to have a really good defense. But, you know, the question is, how much can that offensive line improve, and who's going to be the quarterback?
Imagine, Dubsy, what it's going to look like. Next year, you're going to have to, if you're Butch Jones, you're going to have to do some soul-searching in the offseason and maybe decide, hey, we're going to roll the dice with one of those true freshmen.